Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
This is where we do an interview. Sometimes we interview people from the community, and sometimes we interview people that's on our prophetic team. So this is Amy Romersberger. She's part of our team. Everybody say hi, Amy. Amy and her husband Conan and her children have been around Voice in many different capacities through the years. And currently she is on staff in the House of Prayer as a singer and a worship leader. And you've been around Voice for what, 12 years? 10 years? 12 years? Around 12 years. So when did you first become aware of the prophetic ministry?
Here at Voice.
Oh, we can turn on. Yeah. There we go. That helps.
I learned about the prophetic ministry here at Voice. I think I was always an encourager by nature. But growing up in the church, you know, we just say, well, I'll pray for you, and okay, sister so-and-so, and pat you on the back, and you'd walk out the door. So coming to Voice was a new experience, and I really learned how to hear the voice of the Lord through singing in the House of Prayer. When you are in the middle of a spontaneous chorus, and somebody's looking at you, and they're reading scripture, and then all of a sudden you have to just open your mouth, and, you know, something comes out, and you know it wasn't from you. So I feel like developed more of my ear and my voice at the same time for the prophetic through singing.
Awesome. So that goes right into number two, too. Is how did you discover that you had the, so how did you transition from hearing the Lord through singing, through having the gift of prophecy and being able to speak in someone's life that way?
Roy Miller is very persuasive. So I was directing the children's ministry at the time, and I would teach prophetically to the kids. I would teach them how to listen to God's voice. I would do singing seminaries with the children. And Roy, week after week, I'd walk by, and he'd say, you know you have a prophetic gift. You know you have a prophetic gift. You know you have a prophetic gift. And I was like, I know, thanks, Roy. God bless you, too. So he asked me to be on his team, and within like 2 or 3 weeks, he's like, yeah, this is a real gift. You need to develop this. So I kind of went under his wing, and he taught me for several years, and then have just been prophesying to people on Tuesday nights since then, off and on, just for the whole probably 10 years.
Yeah. So we'll go to number four. So what were some of your experiences when you're on the receiving end of prophecy?
Wow. being in a prophetic church and in a prophetic community, you receive words a lot. And when I go up to somebody and it's their turn to prophesy to me, they're like, no, I don't want to prophesy to Amy. I know everything about her. I don't know. Like, she already hears from the Lord. I don't want to say anything. And so I think as, you know, humans, we get intimidated in that. But some of my most profound words were actually pictures from the children themselves when I was doing children's ministry. I had a girl who just one time when Graham Cook was here, way back in the day, she drew a picture of a horse and a man next to a horse and a picnic blanket. And she gave it to me. Never, ever knowing that one of the first visions that I had from God was about crossing the river of failure. And when I finally had the courage to do it, God on his horse, or Jesus on his horse, came up behind me, swooped me up onto the back of his horse, and we went right over the river of failure together. And when we got on the other side of the river of failure, there was this huge picnic set up. And all the children were in the distance. And so for this little girl to give me a picture like that, it must have been 4 or 5 years after I initially had had that first vision and that first call to the children's ministry. So that was really enlightening to me. I still have it in my Bible. And the girl only visited that one Sunday. She never came back.
That's awesome. So how has the prophetic ministry affected your whole family?
Well, sometimes that's good and sometimes it's not so good. I can speak freely. My husband is not here tonight, right? Amen. No, I'm just teasing. It's been great growing up in a prophetic community. It's been great having my kids in that. What really blessed us, though, the most, and I'm going to break Bob's heart, but what blessed us the most as a family was leaving. And when we went to Napanee Missionary Church, we've been there for 4 years. And I always struggle with that because I feel on the fence. You know, I'm still a part of the house of prayer here, but I don't come here on Sundays, but I do come here on Tuesdays. And then I go to this very traditional church on Sunday mornings. And it's really gotten me into a tough spot. But my kids have prayed for other kids on missions trips. They've encouraged their friends to lay hands on people and pray. They've encouraged kids to just say, well, what do you think Jesus is going to say about that? And kids in their youth group will be like, well, Jesus doesn't say anything, you know? And we're like, oh, au contraire, you know, like, yes, he does. Let's sit down and talk about this for a little bit. So my daughter, Jordan, in fact, she is 18 and she is a freshman at Valparaiso University and in a very Lutheran traditional college, but yet very relaxed in their beliefs. And she's just on fire and ready to be a light for the Lord. Like, she's just really ready to be a light. And in fact, when Revive Indiana was going on, and she would be going every night with these kids right here in the front row, and I would say, Jordan, okay, let's pray about this. Oh, Mom, I need to be there. Okay, it's like, you know, midnight every night on a school night. You know, the Bible does say obey your parents first. And, you know, she was just so excited about the Lord. We had to rein her in a little bit. And praise God that that happens because that's a blessing. That's a blessing. It's a blessing.
Well, for me, one of my favorite prophetic words was way back when Roy Miller, who used to run a prophetic ministry, was training up young people. And then Caleb Deering and Austin were like 12 or 13. And I purposely, both my wife and I purposely went to them. And it was some of the most powerful word that we've ever had. It was so right on. And it was just really interesting. Yeah, so we thought, well, we both want to really cultivate that. So they've had a gift. All your kids have had that gift for a long time. So it's really awesome. So how have you been able to incorporate the prophetic ministry as a lifestyle?
That was a big one. I think what's so important to me and what my takeaway is that, I don't know, the Holy Spirit and the prophetic, it has to be a lifestyle. You can't just be on the fence with that. You can't say, I love the Lord, but I'm not going to listen and obey. You can't say, like, well, God, I hear you, but today I'm just going to turn this one off. You know, like, there's just got to be a lifestyle of it, I guess would be exactly the right thing to say. And it's hard, but yet it's so comforting because I know when I'm in between a rock and a hard place and I'm really getting squeezed and I hate the world, like, just a couple weeks ago, I opened up my refrigerator door and I was like, okay, because life was just hard. Sometimes you can sit there and you can say, God, what do I do? Like, Holy Spirit, prophetically, please speak to me. Tell me, Lord, what am I supposed to do? You can write out your thoughts. You can write out your problems. You can go to the scripture. And then your confidence is in what the Lord tells you.
That's right.
I don't have to worry about being the lunatic mom who just had to scream into her refrigerator. Like, I can be like, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me, but I really don't know what to do. And God will whisper in your ear. Now, sometimes the whispers are hard to understand. Sometimes the whispers are faint. And sometimes the whispers are not whispers at all. Sometimes they're screams. Sometimes they're challenges. Sometimes they're gentle rebukes. There's times where, You have to check yourself and put yourself into alignment if you want to walk. Sometimes you have to know that if you ask, he is going to answer. And then sometimes that's the challenge too. Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to go to those hard places? Are you willing to forgive yourself? Are you willing to let fear dictate, or are you willing to let love dictate? So it has to be a lifestyle. The prophetic has to be a lifestyle, and I encourage you to do it, because then it drops all the stuff that you have to carry, that you have to feel bad for, that you think you did and you didn't, and you can just say, okay, God, I'm going to do this and I'm going to obey, and then you got the rest. And it totally takes the stress off you.
Pressure.
The pressure, yeah.
So Lord, I thank you for Amy and her family. Lord, I ask your blessing upon them. Father, I thank you for cultivating the lifestyle of the prophetic in them, in each and every one of them, Lord. Thank you for the way that they have heard you, even through the hard seasons, the tough seasons, and the good seasons, Lord. Thank you for guiding and leading and directing them, Lord. And I ask your blessing upon her. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Good evening. Was that good or what? That was awesome. That's something you can grab a hold of. I like that. Okay, last quarter, Stan talked about prophetic blueprint, and I'm just going to try to go a little bit farther on pretty much what Amy was talking about as far as prophetic lifestyle. I mean, I thought she just did an excellent job of really making it, you want some of that stuff, you know? Let's go after that. Let's do that. So we're going to just talk a little bit about what is a prophetic lifestyle, and then we're going to ask the guy who started the church about what he said. He commented about some things there. We'll look at that in Peter. So, maybe you're here and you haven't had a lot of prophetic stuff in your life, and you're wondering, well, can I do that? Is that for everybody? And I'm hoping that tonight's message will give you some hands-on, some things to grab a hold of. It made such a difference to me when I was with Roy Miller, and I suddenly realized, ooh, this is not near as mystical as what I thought. There's some steps here that I can obey in, be a part of, and all of a sudden things just start opening up. And you start recognizing things that have always been there, but whoa, that's the Lord speaking to me. So I just feel like God's going to meet us tonight, and everybody's going to go up a level as far as just learning to really move and flow in the river. Okay. Definition, prophetic lifestyle. I asked my daughter and her boyfriend, they were just in the house when I was starting to stir up some thoughts on this. And so her boyfriend's name is Zach. He said, well, when I think of prophetic lifestyle, I think of something I can't do in the natural. You know, we are singing tonight about God, you're the God of the impossible. Isn't that cool? I mean, do you understand where I'm going with that? It's prophetic because you can't do it by yourself. One of the people in the prophetic team, it struck me when she just said one day about prophesying to people, I want to do something I can't do by myself. That's why I want to do this, because I can't do it by myself. God's got to be in it. Going beyond the natural limits of mankind. Okay, open your Bibles, if you brought one, to the book of 2 Peter. Now, you know, Peter's a pretty major player in the Bible, but he didn't really write that much. A few short chapters for this guy who Jesus asked right in the very beginning, be my disciple, and he was the head of the church in Jerusalem. You know, he was loaded. The guy knew his stuff. He walked with the Lord. Not that he always walked perfectly. We can relate to that a lot. But he walked with the Lord. And so I just felt like Peter's got some important things to say. Let's just see what he says. Let's soak it in. Let's take it in. So I've got to find it myself now. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1. And what we're going to do is we're going to just go through that chapter. I love just trying to kind of read between the lines, soak in the author's heart. And that's what we're going to do with this. We're going to just keep it to the first chapter because I don't have a lot of time. So, and I'm just going to read some, and then I'm just going to kind of talk about prophetic things along the way, okay? Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's the introduction. Okay. He starts right off, which I would say, pay attention here because this is the meat. This is the good stuff. This is the divine. This is going beyond the natural. This is the prophetic lifestyle that we're talking about this evening. Okay. He says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Through the glory and excellence, He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them, pay attention, promises, so that through them, you may become partakers of the divine nature. Prophetic lifestyle. Get the carryover there. I just want to make sure you got the carryover there. Having escaped from the corruption that's in the world because of sinful desire. Okay, because the Lord's excellent, just because He's excellent, not because we did anything. We didn't earn anything. Because the Lord's excellent, He promised us things. He gave us promises. It's a huge key. And those are the things we listen for. It's the promises. Through those promises, we escape the corruption that's in the world, and we become partakers of the divine nature. It's just not anybody's promises. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Those are the promises. Those are the things that we're banking on. Those are things we can put weight on. I'm talking to myself here. Those are things I can step out on, because His word will not pass away. One other thing that just has to be spoken about when you're talking about a prophetic lifestyle is escaping the corruption that's in the world. I'm not going to go into detail about it, but I'm just going to touch on it a little bit. Maybe I'm just going to pray about it like this. Lord Jesus, please help us understand, really like you do, the corruption that's in the world. How it manifests in our lives, how it's trying to manifest in our lives, what we're up against, how it works, so that we can escape it. Because He's promised us that we can. So it's not like we got to be corrupted, or it's got to affect us. He says, so that you can escape the corruption in the world. Okay, I'm just going to throw this in, no charge. You can meditate on this. Escaping is a big part of the end time strategy. It's a big part. Jesus mentions it almost every time He talks about the end, that you may escape the things that are coming upon the earth. So escaping the corruption is no small thing. It's got to do with, it includes getting your life cleaned out. It includes hating those things that are trying to stick to you or trying to corrupt you or corrode you. Okay, so I'm going to stop with that right there. I don't want to, it's a kind of a bunny trail, but it's worthwhile. And that's part of the prophetic. That was the prophetic guy's hearts, the prophets. Get rid of that stuff. Get out of the corruption so you can experience the divine nature. And the grace of God, it's not that we even have to get ourselves out. If we get into a place with Jesus, that Holy Spirit and that divine power will grant us the grace. We're out. He'll take us out. Okay. Now let's read on a little farther. Okay, I mentioned about pictures, and you know how Amy talked about pictures. I'm going to just speak about prophetic lifestyle is a lifestyle of pictures. You know why? I'll just give you a couple examples. God talks in pictures. It's his language. I shouldn't say it's his total language, but it's a big part of his language. For instance, it says the whole creation declares the glory of God. He put us here in a picture. Look at creation. You're looking at a picture. You're looking at a picture of God. It's talking to you. Learn to listen. Learn to hear what it says. Creation speaks aloud. The Bible talks a lot about creation speaking. But God is the prophetic is pictures. It's just huge. So don't, if you get pictures in your mind, pay attention. It's God's language is pictures. I just wanted to kind of stir that up because it's something that's just growing on me. And for some reason lately, I've been getting more and more pictures in my thoughts as I'm praying about stuff. Pictures, pictures everywhere. I just thought it was really neat that Amy mentioned that. That was one of the prophetic words that was the strongest for her. It was just a simple picture. Okay, now we're going to talk about a picture here. And I'm going to use the picture of vitamins because I want to try to make prophetic lifestyle something that's very attainable. Now, I'm getting old enough that I'd say 2-3 years ago, I started getting stuff going on in my body where, I wasn't feeling good. I was just really drained and tired and achy, and I just didn't feel good. Something's going on in there. So I went to see some person who, a doctor, and basically, long story short, I realized my body was toxic. It was toxic. And one of the things that was prescribed, in other words, the bad stuff was so built up in there and I wasn't cleaned out enough that I was starting to get symptoms that way. So one of the prescriptions to help me with that was take your vitamins. Okay? All right. Now, so what we're going to do here, this next part of this passage here, is Peter's talking about vitamins. Picture vitamins when you're picturing these things. Okay? All right. For this reason, make every effort to supplement. Anybody ever heard vitamins called supplements before? Okay. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Virtue with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with steadfastness. And let steadfastness with godliness, and godliness brotherly affection. Brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, keep taking your vitamins. Don't stop. Because vitamins build up in your system. They will keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to take your vitamins. Confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. Taking your vitamins is much like pursuing these qualities. It's something everyone can do. It's a discipline. It's everyday stuff. It's not so mystical. You understand what I'm saying? This isn't mystical. Pursuing knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness. It's not mystical. It's not mystical. But it's powerful. And it's effective. It just doesn't happen instantaneously, just like vitamins. They are little supplements that build up in your system that helps your system maintain health. And so that's the same with these. That's the picture here that I got when I read it. It's like, wow, that's just like vitamins. It was a picture. And since I've been through this, I've realized, got old enough, hey, I better be taking my vitamins. I still don't always do such a good job, but I've seen them. I've felt the effects of them working. I seldom feel that toxic feeling anymore. Not unless I get way run down. I stop taking my vitamins, stop exercising, different things. I know very practical, everyday stuff. Then I begin to feel the toxic stuff creeping back up. But so in that way, Peter didn't write a lot. But this was a powerful punch. And this really, I feel like, so applies to, because walking in a divine nature, that's what walking in prophetic is all about. It's learning to walk in that. He says, he's granted you this thing, so you can do it. You can do it. You're going to see a few new faces up here this evening ministering. Maybe you'll recognize them, maybe you won't. But they're just everyday people who are starting to do it. Who are, no, we're, none of us are any different or any better than anybody else here. We've developed a few things, but we're the new guys. Oh, man, I can do this. So they're stepping out. Just like everything else, it's a faith walk. But you'll see some new faces, and I'm just excited about it. Because they're up here going to be calling out God's blessing over your life. Okay. Got to wrap it up quick. Okay, I think we can do this. Okay, I'm going to. Therefore, I always. Okay, Peter, remember again. He only wrote a few letters, a few things. It's power-packed. But, I just better just go on here. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, that though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon. How did he know that? Because he was flowing. God was revealing it to him. He was in the river. He was taking his vitamins. He was becoming aware of, hey, man, he just sensed it. Here it says, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. I wonder how that happened. I don't know, but it was prophetic. It was divine. Not, you know, in the natural, you don't know when you're going to die. But he knew. So he was writing his farewell letter, so to speak. Okay, let's skip real quick down to verse 19. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. Now listen real careful. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. In other words, you can't do it in the natural. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. If you take your vitamins, you will be carried along by the Holy Spirit. You will prophesy. You may not understand it at first. What? Where did that come from? Or you'll say something to somebody and suddenly it'll dawn on you. I didn't think of that. That'll stir you up. Like, yes, my vitamins are starting to work. So, anyway, okay. Recap. God's given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need to walk in the divine nature, he's given it to us. But it comes in vitamin form. Many times. Not always. Sometimes we get some supernatural things that just happen. So cool. But for the everyday person to be solid, that's how I teach. Don't expect lightning to fall from heaven. I hope it does. But this is the way. Taking your vitamins is the way to walk in the prophetic, to grow into the prophetic, or to the divine nature, and to escape the corruption that's in the world. All right. So, let's be blessed tonight as our team comes up, and we're going to just bless you guys from the stage here with some prophetic ministry.
Something real quick. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, I want to share something real quick. I got this on the way over here in the car. I had no idea what John was speaking about. But I heard God saying, this is not a time to test the grace of God. Okay? And I also heard the Lord say earlier today that it's time to get our house in order. And a couple weeks ago, I mean, God's been really working on my heart the last 3 weeks. I got a prophetic word during the service. It was for everybody in the whole church. Man, it was like somebody shot an arrow right through my heart. And the word was this, and it was so powerful. It was like, he goes, if you're living a compartmentalized life, stop it. And I was like, wow, man. I was like, I'll say that again. He said, if you're living a compartmentalized life, stop it. And I was like, man, God, that's me. There's some things in my life that I need to get rid of. I need to lay down. And we all got things. There's always things that the Holy Spirit is dealing with us. But I really feel that this is a crucial time that God's like, don't play games with my grace. My grace is sufficient. His grace is unmeasurable, okay? But like John was saying, take your vitamins, you know, take your supplements. Get rid of the garbage, get rid of the junk, lay it down, because this is a time we need to be 100% on fire for God, not 90% and then 10% is something else that I'm ashamed of and I don't want to deal with. But God's saying he's bringing everything to light, so I think he's giving us a warning to say, deal with it now before everybody finds out about it and you're really ashamed and you're like, man, God, I should have listened. God is speaking, so let's listen. I know I'm saying this to myself more than anybody, but listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying to your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. That's it.
The blue and green stripe shirt. What's your name? Jesse. Jesse, I felt like the Lord said that you've weathered well. I feel like you've gone through some things and that... You know, if you leave things outside and you could tell when it's weathered or when it's not, it's not as pliable or as resilient as it once was. But I feel like you've weathered well. I felt like there's been some things in your life that have come and that you've come through it well. I feel like the Lord is really pleased with how you've positioned yourself. I feel like you're a standard bearer, that you've stood your ground, that you know you were pressed back. I feel like the winds of things were coming against you, but you pushed forward. And I feel like that in this season to push even more. I feel like to push against stuff even more. I feel like the Lord is strengthening you to be able to walk even more as a standard bearer. And I just feel like the Lord is really pleased with how you position yourself. You know, and I feel like in a football, you know, they take a stance, right? And it's not so much that they move forward quickly. It's so that they don't give up ground. And I feel like the Lord is really pleased that you've not given up ground. Amen?
Amen, amen. Okay, the gentleman on the outside right here with a hand on your mouth up here. What's your name, sir? Carrie? Aaron, I'm sorry. Okay. Aaron, that's a good Bible name right there. That's a good name. You know, I just heard the Lord saying it's time to get over it. It's time to get up, dust yourself off, say, you know what? I'm done with that. That's behind me. I hear the Lord saying, son, it's time to forgive. It's time to forget. It's time to just let it go. It's time to move on. I heard God saying that you've been taking baby steps, but I heard God saying that you're about ready to take some big steps, some leaps of faith. I heard God saying he doesn't want you just to stick your toe in the water and say, man, is this what I want? Is this comfortable? Is this something I want? Am I going to like this? But I heard God saying this is a time to jump in head first. This is a time to jump in the deep water, says the Lord. This is not a time to just to wade in the shallow water. But I heard God saying submit and also immerse yourself into what God is doing in your life. And I really sense God has been speaking to you, saying, son, I'm showing you some areas in your life that that you're dealing with and you're going with. And it's like, man, God, I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. I don't know if I can handle that. But God says, I hear the Lord saying, son, I've given you the strength. I've given you the ability to overcome. So I hear God saying to go for it, to jump in head first, and know that you haven't seen anything yet. I just really sense that God is going to knock your socks off. So I just hear God saying, just go for it, man. Well, what do you got to lose? Go for it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good word.
gentleman in the white, about 8 rows back. What's your gentleman in the white on the end? What's your name, sir? Richard. When I saw you come in tonight, the Lord was just telling me about you patiently persevering for the prize. Because I noticed you need a little help when you walk, but that's the way you've been walking your life. You've been leaning on the Lord as you walk, and you just one step after the other just walking ahead towards the prize. Well, you may feel like others have passed you, but the Lord says you're right on track. You just keep walking along, just keep leaning on him, and it's okay to lean on him. And I think there's some things coming up in your life that you're going to be able to, you're going to need to lean on the Lord more. But that's something that you're used to doing. And the Lord wants to honor you for that. And he's got a crown. He's waiting for you with his crown, with the crown for you. Your reward. And that, God bless you, Richard.
I'd like to give a word to the gentleman in the striped shirt with the white and the teal. And what's your name? Justin. Justin, I heard the word Ezekiel over you. And Ezekiel means God is strong. And Ezekiel is one that would dream dreams. And he was a prophet of God. And I just feel like you have that spirit of Ezekiel over you to see the pictures as John was talking about, to dream the dreams. The thing with Ezekiel, though, is that he was given those dreams and those words to preach to the nations. The words were about the nations. The words were bigger than just him. The things that he received from the Lord was bigger than just him. And I feel like that's for you. Like the things that the Lord shows you is bigger than just you. So I want to encourage you to continue to listen for God's voice, continue to dream dreams, have a journal, keep it by your bed, because if you don't dream already, maybe tonight, if not tomorrow for sure. So I just feel like dreams are coming your way, and to study up on the symbolism of all of that, because there's going to be words that come out of those dreams.
The man right there with the beard, you just touched your nose there, as far as that goes. The Lord showed me that you are a man of God, that you are a strong man of God, that you're seeking to do the things what he wants you to do out here. But he's saying also, I have greater things for you out here. Don't stop where you're at right now, but keep going, dig deeper, get my tongue untied here, dig deeper out here, the thing is, because he has more things for you out here, the thing is out there. There's a great vastness out there, and he wants you to tap into that out there, because he apparently is using you already, but he wants to use you more and more, and he's going to reveal things to you out here that, as the song went earlier, to you, impossible things out there, but he's got them for you out there. So go for it, don't give up, and keep on going.
Gentleman in the blue striped shirt. Yes, what's your name? Tommy, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, dream and dream bigger. Dream and dream bigger. I really feel like the Lord is going to begin to download some serious wisdom, and he's going to unpack some things for you, because you've been really asking of the Lord. You've been inquiring in deep places. And I feel like the Lord says that if you will dig in his word, he will pull out golden nuggets of wisdom for you. And that this is going to catapult you into the next level that you've been really hunger. You have a hunger and a thirst and a deep desire. You're kind of like a pit bull. You get a hold of something and you shake it and you will not let go of it, especially if you know that it's the truth of the Lord. And God is going to use you in a mighty way to your generation. You are an Elijah. And God said he's going to use you as a voice, a trumpet, a thunder in the spirit for other men that need the truth and what you bear and what you carry. So I feel like the Lord is just saying, get your pick and hammer out, get in that word, and dig for gold, brother. So I bless you in that.
The lady in black. Yes. What's your name? Kristen. The Lord smiles at you. He's delighted. He knows you. He knows the path that you take. And he blows away the darkness. He blows away oppression. He blows it. The simple name of Jesus. He holds your arms up. Now that we got that out of the way, the Lord says, you're mighty, you're my warrior, and you'll stand when I say stand. You'll sit when I say sit. And you are queen. He says, go with me. Let's adventure together. Let's do great things together. Let's forget about those things that's been holding you back. And now let's see what's really inside. Let it shine. Let it show. Bring it out. Come on, sister, bring it out, he says. You're my daughter. You're mine. And he says, there'll be a smile again on your face because of the things that he's going to do for you, through you, and with you. He says, nothing's impossible. Nothing will hold you back anymore because he says, I've blown it out of the way. And it's at his name. Begin to see there's no more waves. Begin to see that you can walk on water with him. You're walking with him. You're mighty, you're a warrior, and you're loved. Love like Jesus loves. You know how. You can do it well. Let it shine. Let it love. Let love be put on. Everywhere you go, you do it so well.
Gentlemen in the dark beard, you. Yeah, don't look around. It's you, brother. It's you, brother. Don't be running out on me now. I hear the Spirit of the Lord said that he did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And your days of looking back over your shoulder are gone. Because God said that he's raising you up as a mighty man of God, that you don't have to look back over your shoulder. There's nothing coming back there. That you do not need to fear, because perfect love casts out all fear, and he loves you with an everlasting love. And he's very particular about you. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say that your enemies are his enemies are your enemies. So he's very particular about you, and he really hovers over you and incubates over you and watches over you tenderly, lovingly, caringly. And there's a strength in you. There's a Nehemiah in you. You're a builder of the kingdom. So you have a sword in one hand and a building tool in the other, because God is not only building you on the inside, but he's going to create you to build the kingdom of God. So I bless you in that.
Okay, the lady back in the back by the wall back there with the blue and green shirt on, way back in the back. What's your name? Sonia? Okay. Well, you know, Sonia, I heard the Lord saying, daughter, I haven't abandoned you. Daughter, I haven't forgotten you. And I just heard the Lord saying that it's almost like, God, did you forget me? You know, I'm still kind of waiting. I'm still kind of sitting here. And I just heard God saying, daughter, know this, that I've called you to be one that would set a standard. I've called you to be one that would make a difference. I've called you to be one that doesn't go with the flow, doesn't go with the crowd. I've called you to be one that would stand up and say, this is not right. Okay, and I hear God saying that your voice will be heard, daughter. It's almost like you speak, and it's like people aren't hearing, and it's like, am I not speaking loud enough? You know, is what I'm saying not the right thing? I hear God saying, don't second guess what comes out of your mouth. There's a gift in you to speak. There's a gift in you to speak truth out, says the Lord. So I hear God saying, this is a time to raise your voice. This is a time to say, I have not been forgotten. I have not been abandoned. I am a daughter of the living God. I will go forth and do what I was called to do, okay? And I just hear God saying, now's the time to be bold. Now's the time to make a difference. Amen.
Sir, you just brought your kids in. What's your name? Kevin. I really feel like the Lord is saying, you're the right man for the job.
That's good.
And you have many jobs. father, provider. And maybe you've been questioning, Lord, am I qualified to do this? Do I have the ability? Do I have the experience? But there's no mistaking, the Lord hired you. And when the Lord hires you, you've already, he knows you have the qualifications for the job that he has given you. So be blessed.
I'm going to explode here. Okay, this gentleman right here in the gray shirt, buttoned up glasses. What's your name? Hi, River. River, I heard God say that you're a good brother. I feel like you have this spirit of being the big brother over people, and you care about what happens with your friends. You care about what happens with other people, and you put them first. But God is saying, you're not the little brother. God's saying that you are his firstborn son. And I think it's time that you start acting like a firstborn son, not in a spoiled way, not in a dangerous way, not in a gimme way, but in the confidence of the Lord. I just see the confidence of the Lord pouring out on you. And I think you just have been feeling unworthy. I think you've just been feeling unworthy, and God is saying, no, tonight is the night for you to be my firstborn son.
Red shirt Steve. Look, it's for you. I feel like your best days are ahead of you. I feel like this is not a season to pack, but it's a season to unpack. There are gifts that you've not ever used, that the Lord has put on your heart to use, and you haven't really known how to use them. I feel like this is a season to know how to use those gifts. And I feel like it's also a season of rest. I feel like after the rest comes the best. So I feel like you're to take some time to rest, and then there's the best. And rather than using our phones with the GPS, you're the old-fashioned guy. You get the atlas out, right, and the marker, and you mark your path. And I feel like I see you with a marker, and you just have it at the map, and you say, okay, Lord, where? And I feel like you're wide open before the Lord, and you're just with that marker ready, and you're just ready to hear from the Lord. And there's so many, I just feel like there's a book, The Adventures of Steve Green, coming. You know, it's like this is the time of the greatest adventures in your life right now. Amen.
The lady in black beside the guy in the blue shirt. Yes, what's your name? Marlo, I hear the word leadership, power, and authority. You have leadership, and you have the power of God, and you have the authority to walk in what he's called you to do. And that makes you happy. And the Lord says that he's going to break a ground, new path for you to go in and orchestrate a whole team for people to glorify God with music. Just hear you singing, hear you dancing, see you dancing, I see you just celebrating people. You break people free from the bondages of sin and death through the blood of Jesus Christ. You have the power and authority to release people from prison houses. You hold up arms, and you bring truth. And most of all, you bring the love of Jesus Christ that breaks everyone that you touch and know free. Amen. You are his, and he's delighted. He loves singing over you. He loves dancing around you. He just loves you. And wherever you go, people want to hear from you. They want to hear your wisdom. They want to hear your knowledge. They want to know what you think. They want to know what you believe. So speak up and be led as you are, so gracefully led by the Holy Spirit. He delights in you.
Young man there, right there in the black shirt, what's your name? You just turned. Damon? Jaden. Okay.
Jason.
Jason. Okay, we'll get it right. Jason. I hear the Lord saying the thing is that you are a quiet man. You're not loud, outspoken, and you're sort of almost an introvert type of thing like that. But he's saying that is no longer your lifestyle anymore. I'm taking you out of that. The thing is, it's time. that you become loud for the Lord out there. It's time that you do the things that I've laid on your heart out here, things out there. You have sought the Lord in many different things. What's next for me? What do I do now? How do I do that? Thing is out there. But the Holy Spirit is there for you. He's going to teach you how to do that. He's going to show you what to do out here. The thing is out there. But most of all, he wants to encourage you, say, you are mine. I've bought you with a price out here. You are my warrior. You're my end time warrior here out here. You have that sword in your hand like you see in the old Roman swords and these heroes out there with that huge sword out there. That's you out there, out there. You're out there in that crowd out there and the enemy out there, and you're just chopping them left and right out there. So go with the Lord and don't stop.
The gentleman in the green and white striped shirt with the glasses. Yes, sir. What's your name? Justin. There's an old song way back. I'm kind of doing my age now. It's called Buying a Stairway to Heaven. Do you know the song? Yes, you do. I know you do. But the thing about it is Jesus is saying he bought your way to heaven. So you don't have to buy a stairway to heaven, because he is the stairway to heaven. And the Lord says he's got a plan and a purpose over your life, and he hasn't forgotten you. And sometimes you feel like you are odd man out and that you don't fit anywhere. But the Lord said that he specially picked you out to be his son, to be one of his own, and that he has not forgotten. And he paid your way to heaven. So I bless you in that.